Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's read this scripture before prayer over the tithes and offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Scripture say, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health so as your soul prospers. Amen. Thank you, Father. We teach the truth so that your soul may prosper. Father, we thank you. We bring our tithes as worship unto you and honoring that all that we have is yours. We thank you, Father, that the seed that we bring, you will multiply back to us not many days from now. We thank you when we need it. We will reap because now we sow. We thank you, Father. You always give us seeds to sow in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, God has always been very concerned, not concerned, always concerned about the youth. You know why? Because we've been praying with the youth for quite a number of years now, right? And sometimes, you know, we having board meeting, you know, she need to rush back to actually prepare the house for the board members to come. Yet she still wants to pray with the youth because there are things she wants to share with them, to encourage them. Praise God. So when you stay in the after service prayer, in the prayer group, right, then, you know, they know what's going on with your life. Then it's easy to, easy to really care, you understand? And Bayan's son, you know, has joined the Faith Kids prayer once or twice. After he told the mother he wants to be in the Faith Kids prayer, Oliver. And the mother has to change his swimming class. And he heard about the church camp, about water baptism. Two Sunday came to me, Pastor, I want to, you know, he forgotten. He said, I want to. He want to get baptized. Second time, you know, then I told the mother, I said, don't stop him, right? Amen. Twice he wanted. He told parents he want to stay back with the faith kids in prayer. So the mother had to change the swimming class. Praise God. So this morning I want to talk to you about there's one law in the new covenant, one spirit and one truth, right? In the new covenant of Jesus, there's only one law. Amen. One truth, one spirit, one truth. There's one law, the law of love. There's no other law. I mean, I'm talking about spiritual law. Don't go to government and say, my pastor said there's no law. So, you know, right? You break the law of the land, there is a law of the land. I'm talking about spiritual law. All right? In the New Testament, there's no other law. Amen? And you thank God, you know, you don't come under the church whereby they all talk about, they keep telling, bring you back to the law of Moses. Right? First and foremost, Jesus said, I redeem you from every curse of the law. Right? For he been made a curse for us. Right? And then it says, in Christ Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Right? They're baptized into one body, there's neither Jew nor Greek. So there's only one law we need to abide by in the New Testament. Amen. Why in the New Covenant, there's only one law, the law of love. There's only the law of love. In John 13, verse 1. Right? Now, before the feast of the Passover, verse 1, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, he knew he's going to die. Depart from this world, to go back to the Father. Yet in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, let this cup pass me by. He doesn't want to go to the cross because it's too unbearable. Too unbearable. It's not that he couldn't bear. He didn't want to go. Yet he knew. He said, the time has come before the feast of the Passover. Passover, that's Thursday night. They eat the Last Supper to celebrate the Passover. We talk about the Passover, right? And Jesus knew that his hour has come. We know one. We can know. I told you before, 6 months before my grandmother passed away, I knew she's going to go. And she wasn't even safe. And I knew. And I didn't pray to hold her back. And I went to share the gospel and get her saved. And next thing I hold her using my authority and refuse to let her go to hell. Right? So you can know. Amen? When the time comes, you will know. Brad Hagen, 2 weeks before he died, then he went to the lawyer's office to prepare his will. He knows. Peter knew when the time comes for him to die. Paul knew. We all know. We can know. Amen. So when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. What end? He loved them till he went to the cross and went to hell. All right. So he was about to partake of the Last Supper before Judas betrayed him. Jesus knew his hour had come for him to leave this world and return to the Father. Jesus loved them till he was crucified and went to hell for them and us. It is how he loved us to the very end. Right? And John 13, verse 34, and a new commandment with this still part of the night before he took the Passover, right? He knew. He said, if he knew, then he said, a new commandment I give unto you. Right? That means you don't have to mess around with all the old commandments in the Old Testament. Amen. And I don't understand, I just simply don't understand. People are still going to the old commandment, the law of Moses, right? And also keeping all the feasts in the old covenant. Amen. And Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. He made it very simple, that you love one another. That's all. That's the law of love, no other love. So everything has to be governed by the law of love and the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. And you cannot just legalistically abide by the law of love and not follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? And we can claim protection and tell these stories before. You cannot just claim protection and ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? Like I said, you can claim protection, but you don't decide how he protects you, right or not? And he may tell you, don't take this trip or change your flight schedule, day of travel. You better change. You cannot say, I claim that God will protect me, his angel will protect me, I just insist on flying tonight, right? When he actually is trying to tell you, change it, don't go right now, or delay. It can just be 10 minutes, right now. So you cannot override the Holy Spirit, right, even with the law of love. So there's only one law in the New Covenant, that's the law of love, and we must apply the law of love with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, a new commandment I give unto you, that means you can forget about all the commandments in the Old Testament, right now. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's a new commandment. Right? So in the new covenant, there's only one law, the law of love. And the law of the Spirit, Holy Spirit. There's two laws. You must govern your life. If you govern your life by these two laws, you'll be successful. Right? Amen? Many times we don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's where we mess up. Right now. And I keep having this thought, probably it was, I know who is it for, but it may not be for you, but anyway, I'm going to throw it out. Sometimes you have a passion. You want to know whether that passion is of the Holy Spirit. You better let it die first. Jesus said, the seed must fall to the ground and die, then it produces much more fruit. Right now. So sometimes you have a passion. How do you know? It can be a business passion, Right? A lot of people have a lot of business passion and fail. Correct. So how you know the only passion that you will never fail is a passion that's from the Lord. Right or not? In other words, how do you want to know whether this passion is from God? Let it die. Amen. How you let it die? Crucify it. Let it die. Amen. How you do it? Say, Lord, if it's not from you, I bury it now. Right or not? After pastoring this church, then I realized some people just don't have the grace to do business, man. Right? In other words, for their life, they're supposed to go and take a salary and that's it, and rise in the corporate world. No business sense. Totally zero one. Recently, I asked somebody, I said, where you got all your business sense from your father? This person has business sense. I said, where you got it from? I said, you got it from your father? And I forgot what this person said. Right? So, it's the same thing, right? Now, the law of love, if it's not put together with the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's become legalistic also. Right? Amen? So Jesus said a new commandment. It means there's no more old commandment. Get rid of all the old. And that's why I don't understand why people still go back. Some of the church, you thank God you're not in the church whereby we still load you with a bunch of, the laws, the legalism, all the fees. You get what I'm saying? Right? A new commandment I give to you. Love one another. Simple. Right? John 13, verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciple if you have love for one for another, right? So Jesus knew he was leaving the earth and And a new covenant in his blood will be established. A new covenant will include a new commandment, right now, a new law to replace the law of Moses in the Old Testament, right? Actually, the first five books of the Bible is the law, including the book of Genesis, not just the law of Moses. The first five books is called the Pentateuch, it's called the law, is the law, right? It's, oh, because of that, that's why we still need to keep, right? But no, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, right? A new commandment is a law of love that he will give to us, right? Romans chapter 5, verse 5. How did Jesus give us a law of love? In Romans chapter 5, 5. And this hope will not lead us to disappointment, right? After they get saved, right? The hope of salvation will not lead us to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Amen. So, after we receive our salvation, there's hope. All kinds of hope. Right now. And it will not disappoint. Amen. Because we know, for we know how the Heavenly Father dearly loves us, and he put his Holy Spirit inside us. And then he put his love inside us. Then now he said, new commandment I give unto you. Now I put my love into you, now you love with my kind of love. That is easy. Right now. In the olden days, they always tell us, you ought to be this, ought to be this. They don't tell you, you already this, then you be try to be this. Oh, you ought to be holy. They didn't know we are made holy then, you know, right? Can you imagine you try to tell your children, I want you to be the president scholar when they're not president scholar material. Right? But if he's president scholar material, then you tell him, I want you to be a president scholar, that's easy. I'm a real president scholar material. Right? They always tell her, oh, you need to be this, you need to be that, but they don't tell you, right? Oh, you need to love one another, but they don't tell you that actually we have the love of God to love, you know? Right? This is how he operates, this is his nature. He put his love in us and he said, now, a new commandment I give unto you. Else you can never fulfill the new commandment. Correct now? Amen? So, he has the Holy Spirit create a new spirit in us. The Holy Spirit of love dwells in our spirit, and he pours his spirit into our spirit. And we have the fullness of his love in our spirit. Amen? We have the fullness of all the fruits. All right? You don't need to be patient. You're really patient. You have all his patience. You have the love and peace of God in your spirit. Because you have the Holy Spirit, what else do you need right now? So, you have the peace of God. Then don't worry then. Right? Govern your mind, fullness of his peace that's in you. Right? But the peace and the patience, we need to grow it on the outside. That's where we need the patience, the fruit of love, patience on the outward, our outward life, not on the inside. Inside we have it. See now? Right? So you know that we know we have the love of God in us. Then you say, now a new commandment I command you, love one another. That's easy because I have his love to love one another. Right? I have the Holy Spirit in me. I have his patience to be patient. Right now. And I have his peace in my spirit, right? That governs mind. So I don't go worry. Now how you stop worrying? When you think of something, you get worried, stop thinking then. That's simple. Right? Don't think about it. Right? That's how you stop worrying. Then what do you think? Think of something else. That won't cause you to worry. Amen. So most important thing is, you know, what you do is you take your mind away from things that cause you to worry or whatever. Amen. So because God loves us, therefore our salvation will not lead to disappointment, is what he says. Right? And he loves us, and after that we got saved, it will not lead to the disappointment because God loves us. God dearly loves us and has given the Holy Spirit to fill our spirit with his love, and he will not disappoint. Amen. So we have the love of Jesus to keep his commandment of love. Jesus said we are to love one another as he loves us. This is only possible because we have his love in our spirit. People will see and know we have this love, then we love one another. When we love one another, because this is the divine God kind of love, not the natural human love. Not natural human love. Amen. Right? Now, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. Now, you read the scripture before they talk about salvation. Before we are saved, God loves us. We are saved because God loves us. And now we are saved because God loves us. We have hope in life and He will not disappoint. Amen. I don't care what physical condition. Amen. That means there's always this hope. There's nothing, you know, God cannot heal. In fact, let me remind you of this story. Rhema Kenneth Hagin Ministry, there are 8 medically documented AIDS case patients were healed under Kenneth Hagin's ministry. AIDS, that's many years ago. But the AIDS is totally no cure, and right now I don't know. One was a dentist. He was healed, completely healed. Amen. So there's nothing that God cannot heal. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. So else, you know, for God dearly loves us, right? Whatever you hope for, of course, in line with the Word of God, He will not disappoint. But at the same time, right, their natural wisdom, right, follow doctor's advice. Amen. I don't hear anybody say, I don't want to see a doctor, I don't want to see a doctor. You should get it from me. Amen. Huh? Praise God. Romans 13 verse 10. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of all the laws. That's why Jesus gave us new commandment. He didn't do away the old commandment. He gave us one commandment to fulfill all the commandments. Fulfill all the requirements of the law. Amen. Right? So there's no other law in the new covenant of Jesus, covenant of Jesus' blood, because of Romans 13 verse 10. The law of Moses was a type and shadow of new covenant. Just type and shadow. A lot of Christians are still keeping the types and shadow when we have the real, you know. Jesus is the one who fulfilled all the feasts in the Old Testament. Every feast in the Old Testament has been fulfilled by Jesus. Right? For example, the Feast of Pentecost is a type of the day when God poured out His Spirit to baptize Jesus' disciple in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. But there are Christians and preachers who keep the natural feast of the Pentecost and reject the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are Christians who are baptized with the Holy Spirit and still keep the natural feast of Pentecost, a type and shadow of the day of Pentecost. That's not necessary to keep. Since we are baptized with the Holy Spirit and should continue to daily pray with unknown tongues, then there's no need to keep the natural feast of Pentecost. Likewise, all kinds of feasts found in the Old Testament, there's no need to keep. Amen. If you need one, you need to keep, then you need to keep all. Then you must just slaughter a lamb every year. Take a lamb here, spill all the blood all over this place. And so don't get sucked in, right? All this kind of stuff. Amen. Just relax. New commandment I've given unto you. New commandment, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you in line, in tandem with the new commandment, the commandment of law, the law of love. Amen. Since we are baptized, we just need to pray. Likewise, since love fulfills the requirement of the law, God's law, and is guided by the law of love, since love fulfills the requirements of God's law, is guided by the law of love, and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit of love, there's no need to keep the law of Moses or the Old Testament, any law. When the law of love guides us, and the Holy Spirit always leads and guides us in love, He always guides us. Right? When He guides us, we follow Him, we fulfill the new law, new commandment, the new law of love. Amen. Actually, it's very simple. Right? The difficult part is, let me tell you, one of the students asked, he said, I said, same here lah. Sometimes you're not sure, you know, which way the Holy Spirit is actually leading, you know. Right? I mean, we follow Him this direction, then after that, you know, again, I'm not sure, you know, we just have to wait. I said, like that, oh, follow the Holy Spirit, it's like that. Sometimes you're just not sure, you know, right? Praise God. And I'm telling you, that's what I'm going through now. There are things I just am not sure what's the right decision, you know. Amen. So, since love fulfills the requirement of God's law, is guided by the law of love, and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, there's no need to keep the law of Moses. When the law of love guides us, and the Holy Spirit always leads us and guides us in love, We will flow with him. We are flowing in love and fulfilling all the laws. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Loving God means keeping his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. I mean, not talking about the old commandments, right? Commandment, whatever his word in the New Testament is his commandment to us, right? So, what is the law of love? It's keeping his commandment, right? When we say we love God, means we keep his commandments, amen? And his commandment is not burdensome, right? Whenever he leads us, he instructs us, it's never burdensome, amen? It's never burdensome to obey God or to keep his commandments, right? Because there's grace to keep his commandments. Right. So what is the law of love? The law of love is keep his commandments. Right. God put his love in our spirit through the Holy Spirit, and his love gives us the power to keep his commandments. When we follow the law of love or walk in the law of love, we will keep his commandments. With the love of God in our spirit, keeping whatever God commands us is not burdensome because his love is a power that enables us to keep his commandments. So it's easy to obey God. Amen. It's not difficult. Right. It's easy. Amen. Just control your soul. Amen. Amen. And don't yield to any kind of fear. Right. Praise God. So what is the law of love? The law of love is to keep his commandment. Amen. He put his love in us to love God, to love one another, and to loving God is to keep his commandment, and his commandment is not burdensome. Now, don't go and read this, the Old Testament commandment, the commands of the law of Moses. Right? That is burdensome. Amen. And in the new covenant, he put the Holy Spirit in us, right? Put the love in us, and the love that's in us, right, fulfills the law. That's very easy, right? The love in us also enable us to obey whatever he instructs us. Amen. As well, it's not burdensome, right? It may be burdensome to the soul. So there's one spirit, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the only one spirit to follow. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. We are all joined to the Lord. Amen. Our spirit is joined to the Lord. How? By the Holy Spirit indwelling us. The Holy Spirit indwells every one of us, and we are all joined to the Lord. Amen. And, you know, our spirit is not unholy. Because our spirit has unholiness, it cannot be joined to the Lord. And we are one spirit with the Lord. Our spirit has the righteousness and the holiness of Jesus Christ. Right? So we are made righteous, we are made holy. Therefore, we are joined to the Lord, one spirit with him. Amen. You cannot be one spirit if your spirit is unholy, unworthy. Right now. Right? But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Amen. Your spirit cannot be unworthy, unholy, unrighteous, and be joined to him. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one spirit we were all baptized into the one body. Now this time, not water baptism. Water baptism symbolizes this baptism. We were baptized into one body. Amen. Whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and have all been made to drink, partake or take in. The day we are born again, we drink in, we partook of the Holy Spirit. We partook of that one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and we were all one Spirit with the Lord. Amen. Right? So there's neither Jews nor Greek. So by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Right? The water baptism symbolizes the baptism into one body of Christ. Amen. Water baptism also symbolizes Jesus died. Our old spirit man died with him. Now, we didn't go to hell. Jesus went to hell. The spirit of Jesus, same spirit, came out of hell. But for us, as we died with him, buried with him, means our old spirit completely disappeared. Now, that's another purpose of water baptism. Amen. And the third reason for water baptism is because we need to obey. We follow Jesus' obedience. He got baptized in the water. Before he died and rose again, he water baptized other of his disciples. It wasn't only Jesus. Now, John the Baptist came, baptizing everybody. Right? Then Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist. Thereafter, the Jesus' disciples also were baptizing many of them in water baptism. That's even before Jesus died and rose again. So, it's the right thing to do. Jesus said, John said, I need to be baptized by you, but not you by me. Jesus said, just do it. It's the right thing to do. Jesus told John the Baptist, baptize him because it's the right thing to do. We go through water baptism because it's following Jesus' example. It's the right thing to do. And there is spiritual significance. Amen. I told you the story about this one student, and he said since last year, he just felt that the depressive feeling. You know? The moment I baptized, he came up, he said that feeling completely disappeared. Water baptism is not just physical obedience of Jesus Christ. There is spiritual significance. That's why I said, don't stop Oliver from getting water baptized. There is spiritual significance. Amen. Just believe in me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, by one spirit, we were baptized in one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slave or free, in one body. What body? This does not refer to the physical body. It refers to the spiritual body of Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. So, in our spirit, there's neither Jew or Greek, Chinese or Indians. Amen. So, the race, color is in the flesh, not in the spirit. Right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united the Jews and the Gentiles into one people. Hello, where got Jew and Greek anymore? That means there's no Indian Chinese. Amen. No Indian Chinese, white or yellow. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united the Jews. Is it referring to physical Jews? No, spiritual Jews and Gentiles into one people. Where? One body, one people, one spirit, all in our spirit. When in his body, in his own body, on the cross, right, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated the black and the white. But do you know, up to the 1960s, the black Christians cannot go into a white Bible school. Amen. So you wonder why, you know, the scripture is so plain, and yet, you know, they practice unscripturally. Why? Because of spiritual, I would say, oppression, right? Slavery in America was an oppression, right? Africans have been oppressed many years. I believe the Chinese is saving them, Africans. Through Jesus' death on the cross, there is no Jew or Greek. We are all one in the body of Christ. When the Holy Spirit baptized us into Christ, as we drank or took in the Holy Spirit into our spirit, Jesus united the Jews, the Gentiles, the black and the white Christian, the rich and the poor. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians 2, verse 18. Right, one spirit. We're talking about there's only one spirit, the Holy Spirit. For through him, we both have access by one spirit, right, to the Heavenly Father. That means accessing the Heavenly Father, the opportunity to access the Heavenly Father is equally distributed, is equal to every believer, right? Through Jesus, the Jews and the Gentiles have access to the Heavenly Father through one spirit, the Holy Spirit. To the Heavenly Father, there are no first or second class Christians. That means we all have access, right? The wife have access to Heavenly Father, the husband have access, the pastor have access, the believers have access, right? The pastor have access, the pastor don't have to go to the prophet or the apostle to have access to Heavenly Father. I have direct access. So, God speaks to who? Depends on who is in authority. The church, the pastor is in authority, God will speak directly to the pastor. In the home, God will speak to the parents who are in authority. Amen. In a company, God will speak to your boss who is in authority. Who is the boss? It could be your wife. Then God will speak to your wife. Amen. So you understand this, then what do you do? Husband, submit to your wife. Your wife is the boss in the company. There's only one truth. His word is true. Right? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was fully God. Amen. Every time when they hear a word from God, it's God. You hear the word from God, it's God. It's God speaking, and the word is God himself. So every word that he received from God is powerful because God is all powerful. Amen. You disregard the word, you're disregarding God. Very simple. All right. The word was God. The word was fully God. Amen. John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the third is one, there's only one truth. Amen. And the word is true, right? And truth came through Jesus Christ. And verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true. Right? The word sanctify means setting them apart. Every time we hear what is taught correctly, it sets you apart from others. Don't go back. Right? This is especially for our students. Right? Don't go back to what was wrong. Amen. And it will set you apart. Amen. In other words, it will divide. Right? So people say, you know, for unity's sake, don't compromise the word for unity's sake. Right? Sanctify them means setting them apart. His truth will set us apart from the wrong teaching and practices. Amen. And you cannot go back to the, right? Those Christians who goes back to the, oh man, I feel sorry for them. They don't read. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, there's only one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's also the Spirit of truth. There's only one truth, and he will guide us into all truth. Right? There's only one Spirit of love, that's the Holy Spirit. He's in us. He put his love in our spirit. Amen. For he will guide us into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you or show you things to come. Amen. When he shows you things to come, it's also true. Amen. So if you want the truth, how do you know whether what you have is the truth? Put it down. Right? Bury it. Your passion, bury it. Amen. If it is of God, it will be resurrected. Right? The one Spirit will guide us into all truth. Every word spoken by God is true. Faith comes from His spoken word. Therefore, faith comes from His truth. Where the truth of God's word is revealed, there is faith. Amen. And where there is truth, also it is the will of God. The one Spirit guides us into the truth of God's word. And in all aspects of our life, He guides us. When He guides us, it is the truth. And it won't be wrong. Right? So, in conclusion, in the new covenant of Jesus' blood, the three things that are most important are, one, there's only no other law other than the law of love. There's only one law. But this one law, you must abide by that one Spirit. The second thing, most important thing is there's only one Holy Spirit, one Spirit. We must be guided by the law of love and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. If not, then you become legalistic with the law of love. Amen. Every time we implement, we apply the word without the leading of the Holy Spirit, we get legalistic. Amen. And there's only one truth. We are to pursue His truth and share His truth. We also must apply His truth with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We cannot just take the left, else the New Covenant, the New Testament, the word in there are just letter. If without the Holy Spirit, it's just letter of the word, and it also kills. Amen. So, in the New Testament, especially, you know, in the New Covenant, right? A lot of churches misunderstood concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Right? And the only way to apply, understood it correctly, is to apply the law of love. While I was preparing this lesson for the school, I was going through the Brother Higgins book. Brother Higgins was looking through the New Testament to find a law that governs marriage. You know, and the Lord Jesus spoke to him, there's none. He was searching, not one time. He was searching for a long time for the law that governs marriage in the New Testament, New Covenant. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, there's none in the New Covenant. There's only one law, the law of love. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So in other words, can divorce, can get remarried. After the divorce, can be remarried, right? In summary, because I'm not teaching you this. So there's only one truth. We are to pursue His truth and share His truth. We also must apply His truth with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, right? The one Spirit. So as for us, you know, now you understand why you're in this church. Your higher purpose is this, is to actually continue to fulfill the vision that God gave Brother Hagen. Go teach my people faith. And now we are continuing this vision, teaching His people faith and grace. Whereas we must not be unfaithful to this heavenly calling. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace of God. Right? What grace? One definition of grace is His influence, His influential power. Be strong in it. Right? Let me put it very practically. If let's say you're doing something, you have a lot of influence on others, keep doing it. If you're doing something, now I'm talking about business now. Or you're in your workplace. Certain thing you're doing, you have great influence over your superior, just continue to do it. Amen? That way, you'll be strong. The more you continue in that, you'll get stronger. Right? If let's say you're selling something and your business is booming, don't go and change. Right or not? Now, I'm talking in context. If God gives you the idea for this business and you're earning a big money, a lot of money, don't change it. Continue in this grace and be strong in this grace. The more you continue, you'll be stronger. Correct or not? Amen? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, right? Then verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit this to faithful men who will able to teach others. Now the school is fulfilling this. We are committing the truth, what we know, to others so that they are able to teach others also, right? Then Acts chapter 26 verse 17, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Now the Lord was speaking to Paul, right? And to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Amen. The truth will turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. Amen. Actually, these two scriptures was given to me by Betsy when I was doing the school. She said, right, He gave me these two scriptures referring to the 1 Timothy early on we read. So when we commit, when we teach them the truth, that's why this passion, and some of the students are catching it, right? They are turning the people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Talking about preaching to those who are not saved. Right? Then verse 19, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling, vision. So we talk about the truth. Amen. We must not be disobedient. We must continue to do what the Lord tells us to do. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.